Drives it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And dragged down there.
Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline. And it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Colzine takes the snap.
Pass intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul. And he runs it in for the touchdown.
And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, Paul Dottino.
Good morning, everybody. Live from East Rutherford, New Jersey, in the Giants training facility. This is Big Blue Kickoff Live. Paul Dottino with you for the third straight day. Yes, I am energized. Training camp opens as players report on July 21st, and I am counting it down. I cannot wait. Next week, you guys will have John Schmelk back in the chair for the week as he returns from his honeymoon. Congratulations to him. And then, of course, the week after that, it all begins, the 2014 season. I know you're chomping at the bit because I am too. Today's question on our program is which Giants player will lead the team in tackles this season? Now, if you know anything about football, you know that it's usually a defensive back or a linebacker. Not very often a defensive lineman leads a team in tackles. Those guys are responsible mostly for clogging things up or getting sacks. It's your linebackers and your defensive backs who have a chance to lead the team in tackles. And so we open it up with that question because at least there's some doubt as to who it might be. Could it be one of the corners? That does happen sometimes. Remember, Terrell Thomas has led the Giants in tackles before, no longer with the team, but he has done that. Ontrell Roll has certainly done that before. Safeties very often lead a team in tackles. At linebacker, could it be John Beeson, of course, the middle linebacker, who many a times will lead the team in tackles? Or might it be an outside guy? It would appear that Jameel McClain is going to be the starting strong side outside linebacker. Now, usually it's your weak side guy more than your strong side guy if it's going to be with someone on the outside that might lead the team in tackles. So I would say that Jaquan Williams probably doesn't have as good a chance as Jameel McClain does, especially since McClain is supposed to be the backup middle linebacker if Beeson can't play the first couple of weeks, although I expect that he will. Things are full speed ahead for one John Beeson as he continues to progress off of that foot injury. So that's our question today. Who do you believe will lead the Giants in tackles during the 2014 season? I am very interested to hear what you have to say at 201-939-4513 and hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter and across the universe as we talk Giants football on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Once again, we've been telling you all week long about Giants training camp. And indeed, it will start on July 21st, as players report. We've repeated this throughout the course of the week. It is worth repeating, I should say, time and time again, because it is upon us. After all, what could be better than the start of a new season where hopes are high and optimism reigns supreme? July the 22nd is the first practice. It begins at 1:20 in the afternoon. Once again, in case you have not been around all week, the week of the Hall of Fame game, which will be played on August the 3rd. That, of course, is a Hall of Fame contest against the Buffalo Bills out in Canton, Ohio. Well, the week of that game, when the Giants come back, they get the travel day on the 4th. And then 5th, 6th, and 7th, the Giants will have their only nighttime practices of the training camp on the 5th and the 7th. There is a Teeny Bopper concert going on at MetLife Stadium, so there will be no public access. However, on Wednesday that week, there will be. And that is your one chance to go to a nighttime practice during Giants training camp. And so we certainly invite you to that. And for those of you who have not been listening during the course of the week, Giants.com has all the details about the practice sessions. Usually practice is at 1:20 in the afternoon. It runs for 2 hours. That one nighttime practice that you may be able to attend is on Wednesday, August 6th at 5:40 p.m. Again, that runs for approximately 2 hours. Each and every day, check into Giants.com, preferably a couple of days before you anticipate coming out, And they're going to do their best here at the internet office to try to post which positions are going to be available for public autographs following each one of the sessions. They're going to try to break it up a position every day and rotate them. And so I know you guys want to come out and try to get some signatures. So check Giants.com as frequently as possible, and you'll be able to check on that. Remember, attendance to practice is free. Parking is also free here at the Giants facility. There will be temporary aluminum bleachers, much as you would go to a high school football game, set up around the perimeter of the field. If you've never been here before, the Giants have had practice, or should I say training camp, here twice before. This will be the third time they've had it here. And so it is the regular standard setup, aluminum high school football bleachers, and there are awnings over them. So, you know, if you're worried about getting hot or overheated or getting sunburned, don't worry. There are plenty of awnings available on top of these bleachers so that you can sit in the shade and watch your Giants players. And, of course, bring those cameras. You're going to be able to get some outstanding pictures because the fence is pretty close to the field. There's not a lot of distance. It's not like when you had to go up on the hill at Albany and you were quite a ways away. No, you're a lot closer this time. The only caveat I have to remind you of, much like in Albany, is that when it rains, the Giants have to go inside. They used to have to go inside to the tennis courts or the basketball courts when they were in Albany. And nobody's allowed to go in there except the team personnel and the media. Well, here at the Giants complex, they have to go inside the Quest Center, inside the field house when it rains, or there's lightning, of course. I should say that as well. And then the public is closed out. So always check the weather forecast. Always check Giants.com. There's also a phone number, I believe, on Giants.com as well. And confirm that the weather is good. There will be Giants practice that day. And then, by all means, please come out and enjoy yourselves because it is a fun, fun time. And nothing is more fun than trying to pick out players who you think are going to make the roster or, for that matter, sneak up on the depth chart and have an impact on this year's team. So, by all means, get yourselves ready for that. Get your popcorn and peanuts and everything else and have some fun watching summertime Giants football. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Which Giant will lead the team in tackles this season? Dave, let's go to the phone lines. We're going to start with Rocky from Panama City. How about that? Hey, thanks for calling, Rocky.
What's up, brother?
Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, that's kind of easy when I guess you hope Beeson leads the tackle. You don't want to secondary guy actually leading in tackles. That means our front wasn't too good, you know.
Well, you know what? The only danger in selecting Beeson for this answer is that what if he is nicked up? What if he can't start the season as a starting middle linebacker? That certainly would hurt some of his numbers. And you do know that with the Giants scheme, they're going to run a lot of three safeties. And they really want those guys to fly around and be part of the process. So I hear what you're saying. Under a lot of different circumstances, it's not good when a safety leads your defense in tackles. But in some instances, it's not necessarily terrible as long as there are some other guys who are sharing in the wealth.
Right. I'm sure Shakes would agree with me. I hope Quarles and Bromley lead the team. And Jenkins and Hankins lead the team.
Well, it stuffs. I'll tell you that. And you know what a stuff is, of course, right? It's a tackle at the line of scrimmage for no gain or for negative yardage on a running play. You certainly want your defensive tackles to lead the team in stuffs. That's a guarantee.
Okay, yeah. Hey, I wanted y'all to put me down on the wall as 12-4, if you would, Paul.
12-4?
Yeah, I really got confidence in this group.
Well, you know, I appreciate the optimism. And the schedule is a bit easier than it has been the last couple of years. But 12-4 may be asking a bit much. Given the overturn in personnel, you got half of the roster is going to be new. You got a new defensive coordinator. You got a middle linebacker who may or may not be able to start the season. I think he will. I'm very optimistic that Beeson's going to be okay, and he's going to have a healthy season and a really good season. So I could see that. But I think the big questions that most fans would have right now: what do you do at left tackle, especially if Will Beattie is not healthy? And even if he is, I'm not sure which version of Will Beatty we're going to see. And then the other thing is, where's the production at tight end? You know, those two questions to me are the biggest questions that would prevent the Giants from being a double-digit win team. Do they not concern you?
No, they'll be all right. The three I'm looking for a bounce back here is Manningham, Kiwanuka, and Peyton Hillis. As long as they can bounce back, I think we'll be fine.
Well, you know what? Those guys will certainly be contributors. If the Giants do well, I'm sure that Hillis will give them something as one of the guys in the rotation in the backfield. Kiwi, I tell you something. He finished strong with a couple of good games at the end of last season, but for the most part, Kiwanuka had a very disappointing year, and I think he really needs to show up this season from start to finish. And the other fellow you mentioned was who?
You said Manningham.
Manningham.
I know he's from the 49ers, but he's essentially a giant in my book.
Oh, he is, and you know he's coming off of a knee. He got scoped, and the Giants are hoping that he will be able to get on the field and practice sometime during the middle of training camp, and he told me he plans to get into at least two preseason games. Now, if Manningham's knee is okay, and he's the Mario Manningham that played for the Giants a few years ago that helped them win the Super Bowl, I think he could be a very big part of this team. If his knee is not right, that's a problem because Manningham's game is speed. And if he's gimpy at all, it's not going to bode well for his ability to produce.
Right. Can I ask you one more thing, Paul?
Sure.
And then I'll get off here. I was reading on Big Blue View with Ed Valentine that they was lining more up at left defensive end and a little bit at the three technique defensive tackle. Is Perry really going to try that, or is he just giving looks just to? For the sake of giving them.
Well, I know they do want to do some different things with the schemes this year. I could tell you this. Perry Fuel is very excited because he believes he's got more weapons at more positions on this defense than he's ever had since he got to the team. And so he is interested. While he'll have some basic philosophies in terms of what he wants to do, he is interested in throwing some other, I don't know, for lack of a better term, junk defenses or junk schemes at other teams just to confuse them. There are going to be some different things that you're going to see that are going to be like, okay, wow, I hadn't seen that yet. Or you may see a particular lineup or a particular set or scheme or formation or deployment. Maybe you might only see it once a game because he just wants to show it to people. He's got a lot of different things he wants to do. And as long as this team comes out of training camp and preseason healthy, he's going to have the chance to do that. Now, that's the big thing. If he starts losing bodies again, then it's a problem.
What I was wondering is, did Moore put on that much weight in the whole season?
No, he looks more solid. I can't say that he's put on weight, but he looks like he's reduced his body fat. I don't have the numbers on that for you, but I can tell you he looks much more solid, more cut. More built, so to speak. He seemed that he was, his body had to mature. Let's face it, he was coming out of college. You get into the NFL, and sometimes it takes a good year or two before your body fully grows into what you're supposed to be as a pro.
Okay. Hey, can we get the show up for yesterday on the archives? It's not showing up on the website.
We had technical issues with yesterday's program. I apologize for that. It does happen occasionally. I know it said it had saved, and then when we called it up and tried to pop it up on the computer, it wasn't there. So these things do happen, as you know. Computers are not as reliable as people sometimes.
Right.
Hey, Randy,
right,
thanks for the call.
Paul.
Rocky, appreciate it. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Paul Tatino with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Our question today, and our phone lines are open, is which Giants defender do you think will lead the team in tackles? And you know what's funny about this, Dave? We've talked about how different positions will sometimes do. It could be a corner, could be a safety, could be a linebacker for sure. You know, you could ask as many defensive stat questions as you want. You know that the interception call is probably going to be 99% going to be a defensive back. I mean, sometimes you'll get a linebacker who might have four or five picks, and in a bad year, that might lead your team. It can happen. You know pretty much that unless you have an outstanding blitzing linebacker, the most sacks on your team is going to be a defensive lineman, probably a defensive end. I'll give you one that you don't know, and it literally could be anybody on the field. If you just said, who's going to lead? And this may be another question for another day. Of course, John's back next week, so I won't have the opportunity. But who would lead the Giants' defense in turnovers this season? Now, that would include not only interceptions, but fumble recoveries. And what you could do to really open this up, you could ask, and you know what, folks? If you want to answer this one today, too, I'm all for it. Which Giant will be involved in the most turnovers this season? Which would be fumble recoveries, forced fumbles, and interceptions. Now that gets a little more open, because as you remember, Osiemanuro 1 year forced double digits in terms of forced fumbles. Plus he had a bunch of fumble recoveries. He had what they call the exacta, the daily double. And and actually they call it the trifecta, because if you get the sack and the forced fumble and the fumble recovery, that's also known as the hat trick, like it is in hockey. So you can really compile a lot of turnover points as a pass rusher. So I don't know. I'm not going to change the question now, but if you guys want to chime in on that one and come up with which Giant you think will be involved in the most turnovers this season, I don't mind discussing that one as well. But our question of the day at 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants chat is, which Giant do you believe will lead the team in tackles this season? Now, I will tell you, Antre Roll, who had a career season last year and went to the Pro Bowl, as we've talked about before, well-deserved, he'd be a pretty good pick. He really would. John Beeson would be a pretty good pick, as we talked to the caller before. I don't know about McLean. I guess you could possibly put him into that hat. I don't think it'll be him, but you could possibly list him. Stevie Brown, no, even though he's one of the three safeties, he's probably going to be playing more center field looking for interceptions than he will tackles. Quentin Demps, the third safety in the three-headed monster? Nah, don't think Demps either. Could be Prince Amukamara or Dominic Rogers Cromartie. You know, it's not out of the question that a cornerback could lead your team in tackles, especially a guy who's really good in run support. I tend to probably go, if I were going to answer this question myself, I'd probably go with Antre Roll. I would think that would be my call. But, again, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer at this point, and I certainly think it's open to a couple of guys, or a few guys. So, in any event, 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants chat. By all means, I'm looking here. Our lines are open, believe it or not. And you know what's funny about this, Dave? During the course of the season, we can't have enough phone lines working for the show. We have I'm going to let you guys in on a secret out there in computer land. We have four phone lines that we rotate through during the course of the program. And during the season, all four of those things are lit and lit and lit like one of those everlasting candles. They just don't stop. Now, during the off season, many times that will still happen, or should I say sometimes it will. Many times we'll have two or three lit up. And then occasionally we go through a little bit of a dead period where nothing's lit up. But that's okay, because we love talking Giants football, even when we're talking to ourselves. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat. Hey, Dave, it looks like we got somebody on the line. Oh, they got disconnected, or did they just hang up? Wrong number? Oh, you know what? He might have been calling Jets.com. They got a lot to talk about. Usually that's all it is talk, but I can understand. Are we having phone issues? Is that the problem, Dave? Is that the problem? We're having phone issues? You know what? I'm going to ask a couple of you folks out there. How about some of our regulars like Leonard Shakes or some of those folks or Ann? Why don't some of our regulars give us a buzz right here? Because we may be having some phone issues. We're not sure. And we need somebody to dial up the phones to make sure that we're working. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. I've got no problem talking for the hour, believe me. I can do it. You guys know I can. I can do it without even taking a breath. But we're trying to figure out if these phones are working. And so I would implore you to give us a call, 201-939-4513. Oh, we got a light coming on, and that's a good thing. So that means maybe the equipment is finally fired up and going. Dave, let's give it a shot. Andrew from Stanhope, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, what's up, Paul? I just wanted to ask, hopefully your buddy survived Thailand at the heat, but I wanted to ask Josh Freeman.
Maybe he likes it so. Maybe he likes it so much that he'll stay.
He'll have to follow soccer. You know, they don't really get into American football, but soccer. But he didn't even make it into training camp. So was he injured? Like, well, what's the deal? I'm not surprised that if Nassib would win the backup job and if he makes the roster, but I'm just real surprised that he didn't even make third, you know, string quarterback. Was he injured? Do you have any info on that?
Nassib did not look very impressive when he got here last year as a rookie. In fact, I think during the course of the season, he was really erratic as we got to watch him week after week after week at practice. He just didn't throw the ball very well. And to be honest with you, I was more impressed with him coming out of college than what I saw at practice last season. And I think, you know, obviously there was an adjustment for him. I do think the Giants believe that the new system is going to be easier for him to grasp and probably easier for him to execute. And I think that they're hopeful that he will show enough stuff during the preseason to seize that number two job. I mean, quite frankly, it's going to be hard to keep three quarterbacks on this team. I know, you know, they've done it before, but I don't know that they've really got the luxury to carry three on the 53. And,
right.
You know, they look, you and I have both seen Curtis Painter. Do you really want him to be the number two?
No, and he looks like he prematurely aged. Well, you know, he looks old, like he's 40, but he's only like 25 or 26. Well, but what happened with Josh Freeman? Was he injured or,
no, Josh,
you know, he just got cut?
Josh Freeman came in. He was only here for a few weeks, and basically he didn't pick up the system as well as they had hoped. And it was the kind of thing where we're going to take a flyer on Josh Freeman because he's put up some numbers in the past. He's got physical skills. Let's see what he's got. So they brought him in. They kicked the tires a little bit. And basically what they found out was that he wasn't up to running this offense. It's a shame. He's done some good things in the league before. But as you know, the last couple of years, his career has gone straight downhill. And perhaps Josh Freeman is in a situation where he's going to have to totally get away from the game, clean himself out, and start from scratch. Because whatever has happened to him over the last couple of years, clearly, and perhaps Shiano was the number one culprit to ruin his game down in Tampa. But Josh Freeman's head is spinning in so many directions right now, he's just really not capable of handling a team. And the Giants saw that pretty quickly, and so rather than keeping him around and fooling everybody, including themselves, they cut bait right away. And let's face it, that was a smart thing to do because you're going to have to get Nassib as many snaps as possible during this five-game preseason to see if he can progress, to see if he's good enough to be the number two.
Right, and you know Josh Freeman's career was going downhill when he's on the Big Blue Kickoff promo. Like the intro, he's on the intro getting picked off.
I hadn't actually thought of that, Andrew, but that's something you can mention to John when he gets back.
Yep. It's Antrell Roll. He picks off Freeman. But thanks for answering. I feel bad for him, but I was just surprised. I assumed that it was he couldn't pick up the system or he had an injury that no one knew. But thanks for clearing that up.
He has nothing to do with an injury. He was healthy. He seemed like a real good guy. We had a chance to talk to him when he arrived. But simply put, he's got to clear his head. And again, that's not a negative. It's not about being off the field. He's a really good guy. From what I know of him and from what I could ascertain from meeting him, good guy. But football-wise, he just needs to rebuild himself. So thanks for the call, Andrew.
You're welcome.
201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. And the phones are starting to buzz. That's a good thing because it means they are working. And we like it when the phones are working because that means you guys get to participate. And we're going to go to one of our favorite callers, one of our regulars, Len from Columbia. Hello, Len. You're on Big Blue Kickoff
Paul,
Live.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well, man.
I guess as you just said, I guess the phones are working.
Occasionally they break down just like everything else does.
Well, great. Who's going to lead the Giants in tackles?
Yeah.
I'm hoping that John Beeson is well enough and can play enough games that he's right up there, you know, number one, number two. I'm keeping my fingers crossed on that, on the health issue. Antro Roll is probably the best guess. Conventional wisdom says it's Antrell.
Yeah, you would think.
I'd also like to see Big Hank up there putting some numbers, but I have a concern that I want to express to you about Big Hank.
Well, I would warn you this, though, Len. Even in a really good season, a defensive tackle in the Giants system may only get 40 or 50 tackles if he's lucky.
Yeah, right. Now, one of my concerns about Big Hank, I think when he's on the field, he's going to be a solid football player. I'm worried, and I started to feel this last year also, I'm worried about his endurance, not only across a whole season, but through a game, and whether or not we can get Big Hank on the field for enough snaps that he's making the kind of contribution that we all envision.
I don't think you have to worry about that, Len. Let me just take that fear right off of your plane, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I think the Giants are very happy with their numbers and their quality of depth at defensive tackle, and so they are going to have a rotation, which is going to benefit all of those guys. We know that Hankins is a terrific athlete. I've already told you since the moment I saw this guy, I love his tool set, and I think he's got the potential to be better than the Cornelius Griffins and the Linval Josephs of the world. I really believe that, and the Barry Cofields of the world. This guy might have the best skill set of any of those players. Marcus Kuhn has a great motor. You know what? If you're talking about splitting reps up with these guys, and we know what Colin Jenkins did, I think he's a really solid player too. You got a bunch of guys in there, that you're going to be able to keep them fresh. I don't know that I want anyone, including Hankins, playing 3/4 of the snaps. You follow? I think that by the nature of the guys they have and the depth that they have, they're going to be able to keep those numbers to a minimum to where they're going to get maximum production on every play.
Now, let me ask you, do you think Hankins' contribution is going to be that he's as good as Linville or that he's got people around him who are going to allow him to get off the field, get refreshed, and get back on again? I mean, is this guy, do you feel he's better than Linville?
I think the upside could be better than Linville. And the reason that I will say that, now, of course, look, this is all about potential right now. And you know what they say about that word.
Yeah.
It is a very dangerous word. But
very dangerous.
But here's what I like about Hankins, okay? Hankins is incredibly quick off the snap. I mean, it's you do a double take when you see him. And I know you guys haven't seen him a lot because, let's face it, last year he barely played. But when you watch him in practice and you get a chance, in person especially, you're looking at the line of scrimmage. You know, I like to, a lot of times when I'm watching practice, whenever possible, especially during training camp, I like to align myself along the line of scrimmage as opposed to 20 yards downfield. When you watch this guy, Hankins, get off on the snap. It is truly remarkable. You do a double take because he is a big man. And you're like, no, there's no way he could be as quick as a cat. But he is. Yeah. Look, I got an NFL guy who's been watching this game, a personnel guy who's been watching this game for probably 35 years. In fact, 40 years, even longer than I have. When the Giants drafted Hankins last year, you know what he said to me? That guy's going to the What's Pro that? Bowl.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll take that. You know, getting off the ball is obviously important. And, Paul, I remember back in the Pace days when they used to do the training up at Pace, early on in Eric Howard's career, there were a couple of times up there at Pace where he just blew by the interior offensive lineman, and I thought to myself, wow, that's getting off the ball. And
Eric Howard was a heck of a good player. Yeah, he only went to one Pro Bowl, but a heck of a player.
Yeah, heck of a good player. Let me add something about Mario Manningham, if I might.
Go ahead.
And, you know, I talked earlier in the week on this as well. I think for Mario, I'm a big Manningham fan, first of all, and I want to see him make this team, but I'm trying to figure out a way for him to make this team, Paul. And here's what my thinking is.
Why is there a doubt?
For me,
if his knee is okay, he's on the team. In fact, if his knee is okay, there's even a possibility that he holds off Beckham as the number three to start the season. That could be.
Wow.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Depending upon
right,
Beckham's development and depending upon Mario's knee, why wouldn't the Giants start the season with Manningham as the three? I mean, obviously, they'd like Beckham to graduate to that spot.
Oh,
but
yeah.
if Manningham is physically capable, why wouldn't he be the three to start the year?
Well, I'm wondering whether or not he is physically capable. And here's what I wanted to say, Paul, about this. First of all, on Beckham, first round draft choice. What was he? 12th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
12th pick in the draft. Geez, you expect that guy to step in, Paul?
Not game one. He doesn't have to start week one. What you're gonna look, Len? They're gonna have a lot of three and four wide receiver sets this year. A lot of fours,
yeah.
A lot more four wide receiver sets than you've seen from the Giants in the past, which means
all
four of those guys are going to see plenty of time. So does it really matter? I think if you tell me that Beckham has got to be the number three week one, I think you're asking for too much, and I don't think there's anything wrong with him being the four in this offense at the beginning of the season.
Right. Now, here's what I'm hoping, and obviously you know you're closer to it than I am, Paul. I want to see Mario as the four. When we go to four wide receiver sets, I want to see Mario as the four. In other words, he's beating out Jernigan for that position. I think if Jernigan is the fourth wide receiver in that set and Mario falls to five or six, he's going to have a tough time making this team, Paul, because, I mean, he doesn't play special teams.
Right.
Agreed. I'd like to see him take – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
If Mario Manningham is healthy, and again, he's telling me he plans to play in at least two preseason games. If he is healthy, there's no question he's in your top four. Whether or not he's three or Beckham is three, you could play games with that all you like. But he's in your top four. I mean, to me, Jernigan and Holiday are the guys fighting to be the five. And if you want to throw somebody else into that mix, I'll tell you, a guy I'm intrigued by is Corey Washington, who's got the big skyscraper tools. And, you know, I'm thinking right now as I open training camp, my binoculars are on him because he is a different style of receiver than they have on this team. You know, he's the skyscraper type, the big, long, lanky type, the guy who would go up and get it. I'm thinking Washington, at the very least, would be extremely helpful on the practice squad to go up against those types of receivers when you're playing the opponent on Sunday. So you know what I mean?
I do. And I think he's the kind of guy that's going to need a year on the practice squad. And I have a hunch that that's what the Giants are looking at. I mean, remember now, everybody says, well, what about Victor Cruz? You know, we're talking about an undrafted guy from Newberry. I mean, this isn't a guy who's going to crack your top six. I mean, we even signed him later than we expected to sign him after the release of Chris Adams.
I'm with you. I understand.
So you wonder, everybody's passing on this guy, and he's still hanging on out there. And I'm rooting for the kid. I mean, I'm not knocking him. I'm rooting for him. But I was glad to hear what you said about Mario as a shot at being one of those top four.
It's a matter of health, Len. It's not about anything else. If Manningham is healthy, look, I asked him about you know, Manningham part two, and I said, Mario, how do you see yourself fitting in here? And he said, look, remember, he's coming into the Giants after 2 years in the West Coast offense with San Francisco. And he himself said to me, this offense is much more like what I've been running the last couple of years, even though he didn't play a lot. It's much more about what he's been used to in San Fran than what the old Giants offense was. So he said to me, this is not a problem. He's already used to running this style of offense. So, you know, in terms of his ability to fit in here, you know, remember when he was here the first time, there were times he ran the wrong routes. You know that. I mean, I'm not telling you any secrets here.
Oh, yeah. You know, he had, you know, the one thing that always frustrated the heck out of me with Mario, he kept forgetting that the field was 53 and a half yards long, and he'd take that one extra step out.
Well, there you go.
So, one other step out of bounds on the sideline.
So you know what I'm talking about, although obviously he made the great catch in the Super Bowl. But here's the bottom line.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Here's the bottom line.
Oh, my gosh.
McAdoo's offense is the same kind of thing that the Packers, the Niners, and the Saints have been running for the last decade. And because of that, Manningham said to me, I am so comfortable with this stuff. It is not a problem for me. He's ready to blend in and be productive. So please, don't think about Manningham as a long shot. This is strictly about when does his knee allow him to get out there and run like a demon. That's what this is about. Good. This has nothing else to do with anything else.
But Paul, let me ask you one more question.
One more, then I want to get to the Lions are just fire,
absolutely,
Len.
Absolutely,
they're on fire.
You look at the 90. you look at the 90 man roster, Paul, and I'm looking at it closely last night, and I'm sure Tom's intrigued by some of these folks. But you know, barring injury now, if everybody's healthy, and we got those 90 guys, Paul, I see 60 or 62 guys who maybe have a shot here.
Len, I've been telling people for the last several weeks that this is one of the most intriguing training camps that I will be attending in a long time. And and I always tell people this. You know that the team's a legitimate playoff team when most of the battles and the competitions that you're looking forward to in August are about the second and third positions on the depth chart. When you're looking for positions and battles and competitions for your starters, you know you're probably not going to be very good.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay?
There you go.
And I'm looking at the second and third strings. I'm looking at the back end of the depth chart in this training camp. I think that's a good sign.
So you're feeling pretty good about this team.
I think outside of tight end and left tackle, this is a playoff team. But those two positions right now really would worry me if I were Tom Coughlin.
Okay, now I'm excited going into training.
And by the way, Len, a bad left tackle position could actually ruin anything else that you've built, because that's the one position, like a house of cards, comes tumbling down with one bad card. And that's the bad news.
All right, now listen, and you don't have to answer right now, but on your question, I guess it was 2 days ago, retired player, who would you pick? I'm not sure you gave us your answer.
I did go with Lawrence Taylor, and the reason I went with LT was because of not only the greatest defensive player of all time, but as Bill Parcells used to say, he inspired those around him to do better. And Lawrence was such a special, special player that whenever he stepped between the lines, everybody got extra jacked up, and they all wanted to either see Lawrence make a big play or make a big play themselves. And that is such a rare, rare, rare quality that I think I'd have to have LT on this team.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Thanks, Paul. Have a good weekend.
You too, Len. Be well. Thank you so much. 201-939-4513. The phone lines are aflame. Dave, let's keep going. What do we have? Anthony from Phoenix, you're next on the show. Hello.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Excellent. I want to thank you, first of all, for bringing back some old memories there by mentioning players such as Homer Jones and Fran Tarkenton and Y.A. Tittle.
Are you calling me old, Anthony? Are you calling me old?
No, I'm calling myself old.
That's all right, brother. We are talking the same language.
fond memories with my dad sitting behind the pillars at Yankee Stadium and freezing cold and rooting for the Giants.
That's great stuff. By all means, if you want to talk about those guys, don't be afraid to call me anytime.
Thanks, Paul. Your question of the day, obviously, I think Beeson's going to get the most tackles.
Okay.
And hopefully he does, because that means they're not getting anywhere.
Well, you know what? It's going to be, for me, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how well he starts the season. Because remember now, with the foot problem, he's missed a good part of the spring and the summer. We know that they're projecting him to be back right around week one against Detroit. I'm very optimistic. I know he is, and so is the coaching staff and the medical staff, that he's going to be able to play against the Lions. But how much work does he get in before week one? Does he get out on the practice field for a week, 2 weeks? Does he even play any preseason snaps? And if so, well, Anthony, I'll be honest. How rusty is he going to be against Detroit? Even if he plays that day, what if he plays and doesn't play well? That's not good.
Right. I agree there. He's got to be in shape and so forth and be ready to go. But, you know, I have good faith in the Giants and their decisions, and his decision, too, as a player, because Beeson is old school.
He is. He is. You remember Jim Files?
Oh, my God. Oh, Paul, I'm telling you.
You like that, right?
You're bringing up, players like Sam Huff, and he fits in that category, because Beeson's a beast. He's just awesome in the middle.
Absolutely.
And we're glad to have him. You know, as far as your other thing about the turnovers, I think Stevie Brown will have the most picks.
Okay, that's fair. Although somebody might argue with you that it could be DRC or Prince. Corners can get picks too now.
Yeah, but Stevie Brown seems to be a ball hawk.
Doesn't he?
You know?
Yeah, he's fun to watch.
Yeah, he really is. And I hope he's back, full strength. Because we really missed him last year.
He's really close.
We really missed him.
I think if you had a chance to talk to him today, he'd probably tell you he's over 90.
Oh, that's great.
He's really close.
Hey Paul, I want to ask you a serious question now about Winston. I really think the Giants should be looking at him right now.
So do I.
Whether or not Beattie comes back or not, let's not, if we have the cap money, let's go after this guy, because he helped the Cardinals last year. And he's a free agent. If anything, if Beattie comes back and he's all well and good and we still have Winston, that's fine. We have more depth. Someone's going to get injured here, nicks and cuts and whatever. I just think having him as a player, because he's a proven player. He helped the Cardinals for a year. They picked him off the scrap heap, and I think you ought to pick him up. He's a polished player, and he can only help us.
Anthony, there's only one thing that I warn you about, and I have been preaching this since the draft, because I've always believed that the Giants needed extra help at left tackle, and I'm with you on this. But the problem is, Eric Winston hasn't visited any teams. And I don't know if that's because he's asking for too much money. I don't know if that's because of the union situation. He's very, very active. He's one of the leaders of the players' union, and sometimes some teams hold that against a guy. I don't think the Giants do. I've never been of the opinion the Giants look down upon or against guys who are part of the Players Association, or should I say part of the hierarchy of the Players Association. But for some reason, Eric Winston, to my knowledge, has not even gone on any visits or workouts with anybody around the league. That's saying something. I don't know what it is, but it's saying something, because I agree with you. He's a veteran. He's got a proven resume. He's not an all-pro by any means, but he's a veteran who can help you win. And the Giants, according to the NFLPA numbers this week, have approximately $7 million, just a little less, I think it's $6.8 million, under the salary cap. And so you're right. They can afford to sign him. But I know a couple of things are at float here. A, there's some mysterious reason why Winston's not working out for anybody, and you can't tell me that there are not 32 teams, or at least, I don't know, two dozen teams who could not use an experienced tackle. And B, Jerry Reese really, really, really likes to see what he's got first before he starts going outside. And I think he really wants to try to have a lot of faith in Will Beatty, that he'll be able to bounce back from the leg injuries, and that he will be the Will Beatty of 2012 when he only gave up 3.5 sacks and Jerry gave him that big contract. I think he's hoping against hope that Beatty's going to be good. And then, of course, he's also looking at some of these other guys he signed, and he's saying, look, I brought these guys in for a reason. You know, I brought Charlie Brown here for a reason. I brought John Jerry in for a reason, even though he's more of a guard than he is a tackle. But I've got James Brewer here for a reason. I think Jerry's philosophy is, and I'm going to be totally honest with you, Jerry's philosophy is give these guys every chance to play themselves into the position. And if they fail, well, give them every chance to fail before I go elsewhere. And I think that probably has a lot to do with why they haven't addressed the spot. I'm disappointed. I wish they had. And I guarantee you this, they're still looking at that left tackle spot and the tight end spot. And they will throughout training camp. And I hope somebody of value comes free, because I think the Giants need to take a shot at upgrading.
Right. They also may be waiting for the first cuts.
No question. And not just the first cuts. Could be the second cuts.
Right.
Anthony, thank you so much. I appreciate it. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. I should probably go to the Twitters, but I know we got a couple of calls. So let me go to Marco. Marco, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Good morning, Paul.
Hi.
Hey, I enjoyed waiting on hold and following up Len and Anthony from Phoenix. Those are two great calls. I'm calling you about the defense, and I hope we can get to it, but just hearing Anthony's last point with you about the left tackle, I think, you know, going into this camp, three guys I'm really watching and paying attention to because I have my concerns. Obviously, Will Beatty probably more than anyone, GPP and Reuben Randle. Want to see Randle step up, really, really separate himself as a legit starting wide receiver. I mean, Jerry came out when they drafted him and said, we were looking at this guy as maybe a number one draft pick. So that's big shoes to fill, Paul.
Sure. And the bottom line is he needs to improve his maturity. He needs to grow into this position. He needs to take the next step. Really, yep. He needs to prove that he can be a bona fide, solid producer as a starter in this league, as a true number two. I think right now, he's a really good three, but he needs to show the world that he's a really good two.
Well, and he may be doing this. I'm not sure, but if I'm Reuben Randle or Adrian Robinson or this kid Grimble and Larry Donnell, man, they should be calling Eli and trying to get some time in, learning this offense as best as they could. This is a huge year for these guys, and I hope they're taking advantage of it.
Look at it this way. Coach McAdoo has brought in a very passing-friendly offense, and I think anybody who likes to catch the football needs to be at their absolute best because they're going to be given a chance to produce this year, even more so than in years past.
Right. I agree. Well, let's switch over to defense. That's why I called you, Paul. And I agree with you. You said a really interesting battle will be for these second and third positions on the depth chart in camp. I agree. Defensive tackle, although it's deep, right? I don't know how deep it is because I'm thinking if Jenkins and Jonathan Hankins are our starters, right, and Perry is going to be rotating those defensive tackles.
Yeah.
How do we feel about Marcus Coon stepping in as a third defensive tackle in a game? Or Mike Patterson? I mean, Patterson's a veteran, but do you really think Coon can make that jump to an impact player for our defense on Sunday?
Well, they have numbers here. First of all, Marcus Coon is a guy who has not played a lot of football early in his career, as you know, because when he got to the Giants,
I'm not going to count Bromley in there, by the way.
Well, I mean, look, he's a third-round pick. I don't know what they're going to get out of him right away. I think he's going to be like Hankins was last year. He's going to kind of be redshirted. I don't think Bromley gets any snaps this year. At least that's my way of thinking. But, see, Kuhn, when Marcus Kuhn got here, he was obviously way behind on the curve because he had grown up in Germany and he hadn't played a lot of football, but they saw the skills, they saw the motor, they saw the attitude. He's got everything you could possibly want except a really good, high-profile college resume. So they're putting a lot of faith in him. Then, of course, he gets to the Giants and he gets hurt and he blows out his ACL. So you know, he's still a mystery man here, but I will tell you, all of the things they've liked about Marcus Kuhn in the past remain in place. And so they still believe he's got tremendous potential. The guy's as strong as an ox, and he's very quick. And again, he's a good learner. So, yeah, I think Marcus Kuhn is going to be a valuable part of the rotation. And as far as the fourth defensive tackle, even if you want to make him four, we know Mike Patterson is a quality veteran. And don't discount Kelsey Corliss. Don't.
Okay.
He is a dark horse in this equation. And he has all the skills and the tools. We know about his suspect background at South Carolina. Made some mistakes off the field. But I will tell you, he had third-round talent grades on him. And had he not had some of the off-the-field stuff, he was a legitimate third-round talent. Now, does that mean he's going to make an impact this year? I can't tell you that he will. In fact, he may wind up being a practice squad guy. But don't shut your eyes on him. He will have the opportunity. He will have the opportunity to shine. And if he kicks butt in the preseason, I don't think it's out of the question that he could actually sneak himself into that top four rotation.
Oh, that would be great. I'm excited. I'm excited for that group because, like I said, after those starters, we have a rookie third rounder, and then we have Kuhn to see if he made the jump. Last year he was injured, and now this kid Corliss, who, you know, I hope it doesn't say Marvin Austin. That's all, you know, I don't want to be negative.
No, I don't think so, because if you look at it, first of all, he's got more tools than Marvin Austin, and second of all, his father, Kelsey's father comes from a football background. And in fact, I'm going to tell you guys a little story, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. This is a little behind-the-scenes stuff. I had the privilege, along with Anita Marks, my partner, of co-hosting the J Fund Sunday Funday here at the Giants Quest Center, where Tom Coughlin brings in many cancer-stricken families and children to visit and have ice cream and have a tour of the Giants facility. And a very proud day for all of us involved with it. And several of the Giants players, many of them rookies, come in and they show the kids how they do some of their drills. They show the kids the weightlifting regimen they go through. And they do a lot of the things to get the kids involved, to give them a taste of what it's like to be around an NFL facility.
Absolutely.
Kelsey was one of those guys who showed up that day. He grabs me, pulls me aside, and starts picking my brain about Giants history, the Giants tradition. He starts asking me about Joe Morrison. Now, if you know anything about Giants history, you know who Joe Morrison is.
Absolutely.
One of the most versatile, quality players and quality men. He was a big blue, true blue, blue-blooded Giant, if there ever was one. Played in the 60s and even into the 70s. So he had a taste of the great times as well as the bad times. And Joe Morrison went on to be a head coach at South Carolina before he passed away of a heart attack in his 50s. And here's Kelsey.
Here we go.
And Kelsey is asking me about Joe Morrison and telling me my father knew Joe Morrison and he told me he was a no-nonsense guy like Coach Coughlin is. I can't wait to play here. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, are you serious?
Your eyes must have lit up.
I'm saying to myself, when is the last time a rookie asked me about a Giants player
from the
60s? Yeah. Joe Morrison, nonetheless. Not Y.A. Tittle. Not Sam Huff. Not Fran Tarkenton. He's asking me about Joe Morrison, who, if you're a real Giant, you know him. But if you're not, if you're not a real Giants fan, he may fly under the radar. But here's a guy who gets it. I don't know what his off-the-field stuff came from and why he had some
off the field run-ins with some people. But what I'll tell you is this. Kelsey Corliss that day left an impression on me. And if Tom Coughlin senses that same kind of attitude and senses that same gleam in this guy's eye, Kelsey Corliss just might be somebody who makes an impact during the preseason.
That is a great story. I'm happy you shared that, man. I would have never known that, and now it gives me a little insight on what kind of guy he is.
He's a guy so, you need to watch, okay? You need to watch. Now, if he lets the coach down, well, I hate to say it, but he's going to be letting me down too.
Well, I'm with you. That leads me to my last point about leading tackles this year, about letting the coach down. My lock would have been Will Hill, but we're going to move on. And
yep.
I think Antrell and Jameel McClain are really going to fight for that leading tackle spot this year. I think Will is going to come out like a dog this year. He's going into his last year. He's really loved being here. He's a leader on the team. I think he wants to continue to play. He might have another contract in the back of his mind here, and I think he's going to go out there and just play a great, great year. We could depend on him to be helped to on Sunday, which I love about him.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you, Marco. I appreciate the call. Thank you. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Let's quickly go to a couple of Twitters, and then I will get to the next caller on hold. So, Drew in Virginia, just give me a second here. I don't want to ignore these folks online. I get criticized sometimes by some of the folks who say, you don't get to enough Twitters. And I appreciate that. I can understand that. You guys, you want to communicate that way, and I need to sometimes do a better job with that. I get caught up sometimes with my long-winded answers, but I do try to give you guys as much honesty and as much depth as I can when you ask me your questions on the phone lines. Let's see here. Jason Padilla says, Roll, with all that extra help in the secondary, Roll for sure will be the leading tackler. Anthony Phoenix says, Beeson. A.J. Marshall says, I think a healthy John Beeson will lead the team in tackles. Nathaniel says, I want it to be a defensive lineman, but that would mean we're killing him in sacks. The odds are against that, so I will say a linebacker. Let's see here. Sonny Boy says there were four players who need to be successful. Eli, Beatty, Brown, and JPP, all four had significant injuries. Let's see. Anthony Phoenix says downtown Stevie Brown will lead the Giants in interceptions. Nathaniel also says Paisinger could be the leading tackler. I don't see that, to be perfectly frank with you, because I don't think he's going to be on the field enough, and I don't think he's that high of a caliber player to do that. Let's see here. Avery says the left tackle spot could be key to the Giants' entire season, more so than the tight end spot, in my opinion. And you're absolutely right, Avery, because if the Giants don't get good play out of the left tackle, it is going to be a problem. He says, I'll repeat, even if Beattie comes back, we don't want the Beattie from last year. And you're absolutely right. Nor do the Giants. They're paying him to be the BD of 2012. They're not paying him to be the BD of 2013. That would be bad. We all know that. Dan Cooney says, hit me with a shout-out for tuning in from the UK. Yeah, Dan, how are you? You and Dunk Holden over there. Two of the biggest Giants fans, I believe, from those parts of the world. Says, do you think Beckham can help the Giants and bring back Eli's magic? Yeah, I think he can. That's why they drafted him in the first round. Not to be funny, but he runs the best routes of any of the guys coming out of college this year. We heard that ad infinitum, and I think route running is a very important part of what this offense is all about under Coach McAdoo. Let's see, what else do we have here? Fabian Martinez says Prince will have the most tackles in 2014, especially with all that help in the secondary. I feel like they will target him more, and that's a very logical way to go, because many people think, and Dave was telling me here at the Giants facility, that DRC, according to Bucky Brooks of NFL.com, is rated as the seventh best cover corner in the NFL. And we know from the Giants coaching staff already that they plan on locking him down against the top receiver every week. So that means teams are probably going to try to throw at Prince. Hey, good luck with that. Prince really improved last year to be virtually a number one corner. He's that good. Just like we thought he would be when he got here. He's finally tapping into that potential. Jerry Reese asked him, remember, before the year, play like a number one pick. He started playing like that last season. J-Rock says, if you want more insight on rookie Kelsey Quarles, listen to the interview on Blog Talk Radio, The Shakedown, from July 1st. Well, guys, I hope you got something there to add to it. I'll tell you what, I shared with you an inside story about him, and I think it's pretty positive. We will see if it amounts to anything. Then Need a Pinky Ring says, I like when Paulie D calls tweets Twitters. Yes, I am old school, and I do love it. Let's go back to the phones. Drew from Virginia, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We've got about 10 minutes left in the program. Hello.
Hey, Paul, what's up, man?
Good to talk to you.
Hey, first and foremost, man, I think Prince is going to have a big year. I really do, man. I think, you know, especially with the secondary and the way it's set up and everything, you know, I do expect Prince to have a big year, especially with the help, you know, with DRC.
You know what I like, Drew? You know what I really like? Yeah. Not only are DRC and Prince really good cover guys, but they mm-hmm. both help out and run support. And that's a really, really big thing for me. That's one of the reasons why I thought Mark Collins was maybe the most underrated corner that the Giants have ever had, because he played the run like nobody else could. What a terrific run-stopping corner. And again, he had great cover skills. He should have been a multiple-time Pro Bowl player. But because he didn't get all those picks, people overlooked him. But I love run-stopping corners.
Yeah. I think so. I want to go back to a caller earlier, and that's Lynn. I absolutely agree with Lynn. And also, I'll even go back and say, when we, you know, before we had our pick, Lynn was arguing the point, and I wholeheartedly agree with him, that we had the 12th pick overall, and we needed to pick a player that was going to start. And I agree with him. So that comes back to
Beckham?
Beckham, right. Beckham. Yeah, we need Beckham needs to produce, okay? Manningham is a big question mark, and I understand that, you know, yeah, we really want to get Manningham in here. But, you know, Manningham, you know, he was hurt, you know, when he was in San Francisco. He didn't really do a whole lot, and, you know, now we got him. But I think it's more of, okay, well, you know, he's a veteran. We know what Manningham could do. He's worked with Eli. And I do hope Manningham steps up. But I don't think this is going to happen, but I'm not trying to hear this, let's let Beckham sit out for a year and see what happens.
Oh, no, Drew, really. They're going to use a lot of 3 and 4 wide receiver sets. So even if Beckham starts out as the 4 at the beginning of the season, maybe by week 4 or week 5, maybe week 6, maybe he overtakes. I'm assuming Manningham's going to be okay. Maybe he becomes the 3 at some point during the season. But you know what? What's so bad if Manningham is healthy and he and Randall and Cruz are kicking tail? What's so bad if Beckham winds up being the 4 the whole season anyway? Because he's still going to play a whole lot and he'll still probably produce. So
yeah,
that's good news all around. You follow?
Well, I mean, I got that, and that's fine and dandy, okay? You know, and yeah, I'm okay with him being the 4. To be honest, I just have huge question marks about Manningham. So,
It's a win-win. If Beckham's the 3 and kicks butt, it's a win. If he's the 4, that
right.
means the other 3 are doing great.
Right. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. But my point, the thing of it is, I wholeheartedly agree with Len. You know, we picked the number 12. You know, we he needs to produce. Okay, and you know, not none of this limited play and limited this and limited that. You know, I mean, you know, we had a 12 pick for a reason, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, right. So we need a playmaker. I guess it's the point, you know, and everybody's been calling for that. You know, we needed a tight end. We didn't pick a tight end. Okay. You know, all right. So we got Beckham. And again, that's not a bad choice. So I'm not complaining about the choice. My only concern is that the choice gets to play.
Well, it would be nice if Eli is able to get the ball out. That, of course, means the left tackle spot better be good enough to keep him upright.
Well, you're running me into my second question. Yes. We're all, I hear all of the Giants say hope, and I hear you say hope, 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 you know, and we must keep hope alive, okay? So we're all hoping that Will Beattie can have a better year than he did last year, and we're all hoping that last year was an anomaly rather than, you know, okay, the norm going forth. So with that, yes, we are all hoping. The only question and concern is, you know, how will he recover from his injury? I noted a few weeks ago as another call, I think it was Charlie up in Maine, was concerned about Will Beattie having a broken leg and, you know, he was done and blah, 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 blah. No, I players come back from injuries all the time. So it's not so much that concern about can a player come back from injury. It's more or less how will Beattie respond to his injury. I have no doubt that these players can come back from an injury. So, you know, yes, to me, I think the offensive efficiency, I'll use that phrase, will definitely depend on what our left tackle do. As far as tight end, okay, yeah, we're stuck and we got what we got. And I guess out of all of the tight end, Adrian Robinson is the best of the best. Hopefully, you know, we can get him in there and produce on that. I do have a question for you in terms of what do you think of what is your assessment of Adrian Robinson? And I'll take that off the air.
Okay, thank you so much for the call, Drew. I'm not a big Adrian Robinson guy. I appreciate the fact that the personnel department and the scouting staff thinks he's got a tremendous amount of athleticism. I do think he's a good guy. I've talked to him. Nice guy. Seems to have his heart and his mind in the right place. But, you know, I'm a production guy, you know. And Adrian Robinson's college career was full of potential and projections, not necessarily full of production. And that, to me, I tend to shy away from those kinds of guys. And so he gets to the pros, although, again, you could argue with me, well, then why do you think so highly of Marcus Kuhn? Well, I've seen Marcus do things in practice and in preseason games when he had an opportunity to that really got me going. I haven't seen production in just even the little bit that I've seen from Adrian Robinson to make me feel that way. And that's just the way it is. I'm just – Kellen Davis of the four tight ends who are here – would be the guy that I would favor the most of the current tight ends. But I do think they need to go get one because these guys, for my liking, are just not what the Giants need right now. By the way, in talking about this, the offensive line, it has come to my attention as I'm looking on the internet, and I have to confess, folks, we've been talking about this now for a while, about bringing in Eric Winston as a potential free agent tackle to help the left tackle spot. I didn't know this. I thought he was tied up. Sean Locklear, the former Giant who had that serious ACL injury a couple of years ago, you remember he played very well for this team when he was able to step into the lineup. He is a free agent. Sean Locklear is a free agent. Now, I don't know how medically sound he is. I know he signed last year with the Atlanta Falcons toward the end of the season after he came back from the ACL, and he was a backup on that team at the end of the year. I was under the impression that Sean Locklear was tied up with somebody. But Sean Locklear, according to RotoWorld, he is an unattached, unsigned veteran free agent. So I don't know what kind of shape he's in. I don't know if he still wants to play. He is 33 years old. And I don't know medically how good he is. But you know what? I would have no problem with bringing in Sean Locklear for a workout and a visit. And if he's medically capable of getting on the field again, boy, I'm in favor of that one. Then you don't even have to go outside. You can go inside to a guy who's already played for this team before. So, yeah, I submit that name to you also. I'm sorry this is my last day of doing the show, because next week John's back, and you're going to have to listen to him all week, and I guess Lance, I think, comes in for a day or two, but, you know, I'll be back once the season starts, once training camp starts, I'll be back into the rotation. But Sean Locklear is another guy I would think about. In any event, one more caller. I know that we got to run. This is Kiwan from Patterson. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, what's going on, man? How's everything?
Good to talk to you. Thank you. I hope you're well.
I'm good, man. Couple of things before we get out of here. About the tight end position, I feel like Martellus Bennett should have had it a couple of years ago, but I know he wanted more money, and they, you know, obviously couldn't do that for him. But I feel like he had the most productions since, I don't want to say Boss. I don't want to say Shockey either, but I think he had the most production out of the tight ends we had in the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, Jake Ballard wasn't bad. He gave
That's what I mean. Jake Ballard, that's what I forgot. You're right. Jake Ballard wasn't bad at all. He just injury, right?
Yeah, he got hurt. He blew out his knee and then landed with the Cardinals.
Actually, right.
But he's with the Cardinals now.
Right, yeah. That position, you know, really has holes in it. Like you said, I'm not an Adrian Robinson guy either. Like he said, I wasn't a Donnell guy. That's why they never played, you know. I just hope they do get somebody. I'm really sold on Kellen Davis from Seahawks. I think he's a big guy. I think he can block just as well as catch passes. So, you know, hopefully they get somebody. With the wide receiver position, I feel like Manningham will be that 3 spot because of his rapport with Eli and because of him knowing, you know, the offense a little well. It'll be a different offense, but, you know, they still ran a little bit of the West Coast in San Fran. So, I feel like it'll be good, like you said, either if Odell Beckham gets that 4 spot, it'll still be good, you know?
I'm with you. The interesting thing about Kellen Davis, I just want to warn you about this, and I agree with you again. I think he's the best of the guys they have right now at tight end. The danger about relying on Kellen Davis is this. He played for the Super Bowl champion Seahawks last year, and I use that term lightly because the truth of the matter is, he only had 4 passes thrown to him all season long, and in fact, he was scratched and didn't even get a jersey on Super Bowl Sunday. He was inactive, and so that doesn't bode well. And then the other thing you have to remember is in previous seasons, he didn't exactly put up many numbers when he was with the Bears, and the Bears were so desperate to find a tight end, even though Davis had been there for a few years, they went out and spent big money on Martellus Bennett. So, that's another yellow flag regarding Kellen Davis.
Well, maybe he can do good special team-wise. I feel like that's where you're coming at. I feel like that's why they draft. I mean, that's why they assigned them, maybe special team-wise.
No, I think at 6'7", 265, Kellen Davis needs to be a productive tight end as a tight end for this team, because I don't know that anybody else behind him is going to be able to step up.
Right. Me neither. And blocking with the line, that'll help too. I know they have a lot of veterans on that line. It should be pretty good. And I think Eli will have an awesome year, to be honest. A lot of people, it's like kind of doubting them just back in 04. Basically, it's bringing back memories of 2004 when everybody doubted him and, you know, this and that. But I feel like he'll have a great year, man. I feel like as a whole, the offense and defense will have an outstanding year. I'm just can't wait to see it.
It could be fun, and we're going to learn a lot over the course of training camp and the preseason. Believe me, I think by the time you get to that Week 1 game against Detroit, you'll have a much better gauge as to what you could expect.
Of course, man. That's your time, man. That's all I have to say, man. It was good talking to you, man. Go Giants.
All right, Kiwan, thanks so much. I'm glad the Giants have those 5 preseason games. Gives us more of a chance to really see what they have. That'll do it for this morning's edition. We are so glad you were able to join us and so glad that the phone lines were able to kick in and you folks were able to participate in the program. Again, we're here Monday to Friday at 9:30 on Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. This has been Paul Dottino. We'll see you again next time, everybody.